I am your host, Nanette Weiser of Gardening in Florida, and with me today is a gentleman who probably has seen Little Shop of Horrors and Feed Me Seymour way too many times, Kenny Coogan. He's going to talk to us about Florida's carnivorous plants, his new book, and an upcoming event. Welcome, Kenny.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your journey down this path and your love of carnivorous plants. Let's start with that.
So I started probably like most having a Venus flytrap maybe in middle school, which I quickly killed. And then in high school, there was AP biology class, they had the hall monitor, the person who yells at people for running down the halls. He came in and he gave a guest presentation about carnivorous plants. And out of the 30 kids in the class, I was probably the only one who showed interest. And then the next day, he gifted me a Venus flytrap and a sundew, which I kept alive for a lot longer than when I had it in middle school. And then 20 years later, I wrote a book called Florida's Carnivorous Plants, and I have a nursery all dedicated to carnivorous plants.
And where is that nursery, Kenny?
I'm kind of near Busch Gardens, but I'm not open to the public. But every weekend from September through May, you can find me at a plant sale in St. Pete, Tampa, and then sometimes I go all the way to Orlando.
I think we actually met at Pinellas Park earlier this year. I believe you maybe had a booth at one of the events I was at.
Most likely, yes. I'm at all the big plant events.
So, first of all, your book was published 2022 by Pineapple Press. And honestly, carnivorous plants are beautiful. How do they fit with gardening in Florida? Tell us a little bit about the kind we could grow here in Pinellas County or buy from you and nurture here.
Yeah, so carnivorous plants are very popular, and I would agree with you that they're really beautiful, and I think most people do grow them because they're beautiful, and then there's an added bonus that they're going to eat some pests or some insects. And the book, Florida's Carnivorous Plants, is about the 33 species that you can find here in the state of Florida. And those are the ones that people all over the world are growing. They're very popular, like the Sarracenia pitcher plant and the sundew and the butterworts or the pinguicula, and then also the utricularia, which are the bladderworts. And if you're growing native in Florida, we always like to promote that. And then there's another type of carnivorous plant that is really popular that I kind of focus on, and those are the Nepenthes. Those are the tropical pitcher plants that are mostly from Asia. And those are non-native, but they're also not invasive, so you don't have to worry about them taking over precious habitat in your backyard. And for those, you're going to grow like an orchid, bright indirect light. You soak their soil, and then you let them dry up a little bit between waterings. And then for the native Florida carnivorous plants, you would, most of them like to sit in a little bit of water, like an eighth of an inch or a quarter inch of water all the time. So you get a saucer or an upside down frisbee. And the native ones to Florida, they like full sun, like 8 hours of full direct sun. So if you can grow like a vegetable garden there or a tomato, that's a good spot for them.
So can you grow them inside as well as outside?
Some of them do better than others inside. The tropical pitcher plants, those are excellent windowsill candidates. You could also grow many sundew species inside, but the most famous, the Venus flytrap and the Florida pitcher plants, the Sarracenia, they would need probably a very strong grow light if they're inside. And for me, I'm in Tampa, they just do great outside year round.
Well, you know, I want to brag on you a little bit because I know that you're a humble man. So, you know, you actually started the Western New York Carnivorous Plant Club, and you came here to Florida how many years ago?
12 to 13.
and you got your Florida State nursery license, and you started selling them then. And, you know, what's really wonderful is you have a master's degree in global sustainability, and you wrote 5 TED-Ed talks, including one on carnivorous plants that's been viewed over 1.9 million times. And you're now in the International Carnivorous Plant Society, and I believe you're the education director. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct. I'm very active with the International Carnivorous Plant Society. And what's really cool about that group is that they have a conference every other year. And in the past couple of years, I've gone to Japan and Vienna, Austria, to meet between 100 and 180 other people who love carnivorous plants.
You know, what I really like is, may I just read a paragraph from your book? A tiger's incisors, a cobra's venom, and an owl's talons are all adaptations for capturing and killing prey. These adaptations occurred over eons of evolution and turned these animals into precise predators. A hunter's adaptation is the result of competition and balance due to changing ecosystems and migration. The same is true of carnivorous plants. This is Dickinsonian in its hook. I was hooked. And, you know, I want to talk about the changing ecosystem and how carnivorous plants are particularly adept at surviving.
Yeah, so there's around 1,000 species of carnivorous plants found all over the world, except for Antarctica. I've also been to Iceland and Alaska, where I saw wild carnivorous plants. And there's 1,000 carnivorous plant species, but they're not necessarily closely related to each other. Mm-hmm. So they've all evolved differently to deal with different habitats, but there's kind of some generalities we can make. Pretty much all of them were trying to figure out the answer to the question, like, how are they going to grow in nutrient-poor soils? So most of them are growing in acidic soils. Of course, there's 1,000, so we can't make too many generalities, but they're trying to figure out where they can grow where non-carnivorous plants can't, so they're not competing with those. So the way they solve that nitrogen problem is by consuming it, by digesting insects, rather than soaking it up through their roots.
So this is a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Just like we humans have appetites, do certain carnivorous plants prefer certain kinds of insects? Like, what if I wanted my mosquitoes to get eaten? What would be the best carnivorous plant for that?
So for mosquitoes, there's a plant, and we have 14 of them. They're called bladderwort utricularia, and they're not going to eat the adult mosquitoes. They're going to be eating the mosquito larvae because these plants like to live in water and like really wet environments. And then there's another tropical pitcher plant that I sell called Nepenthes albomarginata. It has a white margin, like a white lid. And those mostly only eat termites.
Because, really?
Yeah, the white lid attracts the termites. They come over. They eat the exudate, which is from the white part, and then they tip into the pitcher. But most of the time, carnivorous plants are generalists. They will eat anything that goes into their mouth. So like the Venus flytrap is sadly misnamed. Somebody named it 200, 250 years ago, and they, you know, maybe happened to see a Venus or a flytrap go in or a fly go into it. But recent studies show that less than 5% of their diet is made up of flying insects. Venus flytraps mostly eat beetles and spiders and things that are crawling on the ground.
Well, you know what? Carnivorous plants might be my insect-phobic best friend. So let me ask you this. I see that there, even Queen Elizabeth visited Douglas, who was quite famous, and got a signed copy of the Everglades River of Grass. Tell us a little bit about Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and how important she was to cultivating and protecting wildlife and flora and fauna.
Yeah, so in 1947, she published her book, The Everglades River of Grass, and her father back in like 1910 said that he was fighting with the governor who said that he was going to drain all of Florida and make it this agrarian utopia. He said everyone could be a farmer. He said, we're just going to drain Florida and then everyone can grow cotton and sugarcane. And Marjorie Stoneman Douglas's dad said, yes, Florida is a wasteland and it's a swampland, but it's going to be too expensive, too much time to drain all of Florida. And then maybe when she was around 20, she went to the Everglades. She studied the Everglades and the ecosystem and the interdependence for 5 to 7 years. And then she published her book in 1947. And then shortly after, in the same year, the Everglades was deemed a national park because she saw that there's value in wild places and wild things, and that we should be celebrating that and not trying to turn places that only, you know, the only place in the world that has giant lizards that are swimming, or the only place in the world that has these exotic carnivorous plants or orchids. So she really promoted the idea that we could be making money, but sustainably through ecotourism.
I just love her, and I know that you do too, and I was so pleased. I'm just actually, folks, I'm halfway through the book, and I cannot put it down. I want to talk a little bit, turn our attention, Kenny, and you and I will talk again about all of this. Let's talk about the wonderful event, Plantapalooza, coming up on January 11th, 10 to 2, at our favorite place, Sunken Gardens. Tell us, you're going to be talking and signing your book, Florida's Carnivorous Plants. Tell us.
Yeah, so I'm going to be joined by maybe a dozen other nurseries, and then there's also other organizations like the UF ISIS Extension and Pinellas County Farm Bureau and Florida Nursery Growers and Landscape Association. But me and about a dozen other nurseries will be selling plants. I'll have my own booth, and I have this. I don't think you've seen this, but I have a brand new tent that has carnivorous plants all over the canopy. So you'll be able to find me very easily, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I will have native carnivorous plants in addition to some exotic, those hanging pitcher plants. And you're welcome to ask me as many questions as you want. And I will definitely have signed copies of my book. And it's the third annual. This is the first time, though, I believe it's at Sunken Gardens. They've been kind of popping around. But it should be a really big event. And we're really excited. And we might have some colds, so dress appropriately, because it's going to be outside, and you know, admission gets you into the plant event, and there's also different speakers throughout the day, and it'll be really fun. There's also food vendors.
Yes, and Radio St. Pete, I will be there. The Sassy Scribe will be there interviewing the different people that are there, Living Roots Eco Design and Plant Nursery, and Tampa Bay Butterfly Foundation, Little Red Wagon, Wise Hands Native Plant Landscaping. Just check our audio blog to find out. Now, Kenny, tell me a little bit about what drove you to get the master's degree in global sustainability, and what can people do? You also have a TV show coming out this summer on Tampa Bay Arts and Education Network on Florida's flora and fauna with conservationist Kenny Coogan. Tell us a little bit about both those things.
So during the pandemic, I was bored, so I said, all right, I'll get
In your spare time, Kenny, right? You were bored.
Yes. And so I went, if we back up a little further, I was a public school agriculture and science teacher, and I had this fellowship with the University of South Florida, where they paid me a lot of money to do continuing education credits. And then the pandemic happened, and I took that money that they gave me to reinvest into myself. And then I did three more semesters, and I got a master's in global sustainability. My concentration is in food safety and food sustainability. So I'm all about conserving our resources, like our soil resources, in addition to other resources that your listeners are more familiar with, like electricity and water. And one staggering statistic is that one-third of all food that's produced is wasted. So you know how expensive groceries are right now? Imagine you leaving Publix and you have three grocery bags and you drop one of them in the parking lot, are you going to keep going to your car and, you know, just leave it there in the parking lot? Of course not. But that's what happens when people are wasting their food in the refrigerator, or, you know, they're not utilizing their leftovers. And all of that food has a lot of associated costs, like the water, the soil, but it's also like the time that the farmer had to take, and all those gas and diesel that those trains and planes and automobiles took to get the food to the store. So I'm really passionate about conserving resources, and because I'm just so passionate about plants and animals.
Did you grow up on a farm by any chance?
No, I would say it was a hobby farm. Growing up, I had about over 10 years, I had 400 ducks and chickens and pigeons and geese, and I would show them at the local fairs, and then we grew lots of zucchini and tomatoes and things like that. So I was, about 2 years ago, I was doing a presentation on carnivorous plants at the Florida Aquarium, and the Tampa Bay Arts and Education Network filmed that, and that's available online. And then they said, you were fantastic. How would you feel about getting your own TV show? Or have you ever thought about having your own TV show? And I said, yes, since I was 12, I've thought about having my own TV show. And now, 2 years later, this summer, we are going to be publishing 6 one-hour episodes called Florida's Flora and Fauna with conservationist Kenny Coogan. And all episodes are middle school science standard aligned. So that means middle school science and agriculture teachers can play snippets of these episodes or, you know, clips in their classroom, and it meets or exceeds all of the Florida's science standards. We talk about sea level rise and shoreline restoration. We talk about manatees, epiphytic plants, aquatic birds, and we go to all the different cultural institutions in Central Florida. So we go to Selby Marine Gardens, we go to the USF Botanical Gardens, Zoo Tampa, the Recycling Center, and we just talk about how we first talk about why all of these organisms are important, and then more importantly, how viewers can help protect and conserve all of these organisms.
So, folks, I am here with Kenny Coogan. He is not just a conservationist, he is an author of a fabulous book that I believe every young teenager will want, because I don't know, but kids are just fascinated by carnivorous plants. He's going to be at Plantapalooza signing his book, selling carnivorous plants at Sunken Gardens, along with a number of other eco warriors. It's a wonderful way to connect the wildlife populations in our largest backyards with backyard native gardens. And it celebrates the importance and beauty of Florida native plants. That is on January 11th from 10 to 2. Look for Kenny at local markets around both Pinellas County and Tampa Bay. Kenny, for those people who want to start with a carnivorous plant, what is the simplest, you know, if you don't have a green thumb, you have a brown thumb, what do you start with?
My favorite, and I think it's a lot of other people's favorite, is called the Cape Sundew. It's a sundew from South Africa. And some carnivorous plants go into dormancy, so they die back kind of like a tulip, and then you have to wait for the spring for them to come back. But this sundew is active year-round. And the reason why people really like it is if it catches something big, the leaves wrap around the housefly or around the fungus gnat in real time. So you can see it moving and interacting with its environment. And people like to feed their plants and watch them move. It gets about maybe the size of a softball, maybe even a little bit bigger.
Wow.
Makes an excellent windowsill plant. They are tolerant of a wide range of temperatures, like 45 degrees all the way up to 85 degrees, 90 degrees. You can make more of them pretty easily. And all you need to do is sit their pot in a little saucer and make sure that saucer has just an eighth of an inch, quarter inch of water all the time. And they'll be they're called sundews because they have dew on their leaves and they glisten in the sun. And the Cape Sundew has these really bright red droplets, and they have a green leaf, so it's an attractive plant, and you can propagate them. And they are pet and small child safe. Everybody asks me about the carnivorous plants, if they're safe for cats. And then about 10 minutes later, they remember their children and ask if they're safe for small children.
Well, I'm going to tell you, gardening in Florida, our podcast has never had a guest like you, Kenny. We hope that you'll come back and join us again. And we hope you'll join us in studio, folks. Kenny Coogan, Florida's carnivorous plants, please see him in person, January 11th, 10 to 2. Your website, best website for people to look at, Kenny?
Yeah, my website is kennycoogan.com. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and it's my business name, which is Carnivorous Plants by Kenny Coogan.
Well, for Florida, gardening in Florida, I'm Nanette Weiser. Kenny, thanks for being with us today, folks. Whether you have a brown thumb or a green thumb, just get going. Plant and garden sustainably. For Gardening in Florida, I'm Nanette Weiser, your host. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you so much, Nanette.